Place.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That's interesting.
Formal.
That's new.
Abasco. Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara, Horoitze Likones Lusudas Keva. Somebody wants to enter and eat a Sudas Keva. Mahalech Asora Pa'omim Dalad Amois, Oy Dalad Pa'omim Yud Amois. Very interesting. He should walk either 10 times a distance of 4 amos, or 4 times a distance of 10 amos. Either way, it's going to be 40 amos altogether. And then the yifne, he will then be able to be excused, v'achakach nichnas, and then he can enter to go and eat his meal. So what's the issue over here? It says Rashi, on the 7th wide line, Hanichnas l'su'udas keva, v'gnaihu, and it'll be a shame, she'yitztarech l'nekovov, if he will need to be excused, v'toich ha'su'udo. So he wants to ensure that he's able to do so before the meal. So the Gemara is giving us an etzer, what can he do in order to ensure that, indeed he'll be able to do so. Says Rashi, Mahaleich asara po'amim, ubechol pam upam, and every time, boydeik atzmai, he should check himself, v'yoshev, and he should sit and see whether indeed he's able to relieve himself. Ulai yochol lehiponis. Maybe he's able to excuse himself, relieve himself. Why? Shehahiluch, the walking, moirid hagedoylim lenekev. We've distinguished in the past between somebody who needs to relieve himself or ketanim or gedoylim. And if somebody is indeed going to relieve himself for gedoylim, then the way for the gedoylim to descend towards the exit of the guf is by walking. So the very walking will mean that if he maybe in the near future would need to relieve himself, now he'll need to do so immediately. So the hiloch is moirid, it brings down. Moirid from the word yoirid, to descend. Moirid ha-gedoylim will bring down the gedoylim, the nekev, literally translated to the hole, will bring it to the exit of the guf, and that way he'll be able to relieve himself. Says the Gemara, Oma Rabbi Yitzchok, Hanichnas l'su'udas keva. If somebody enters a su'udas keva, before we spoke about somebody who wants to enter, now he has already entered, so now we have a different issue. Choyleitz tfilin, v'chakach nichnas. He should remove his tefillin and only then enter. See, even this, the Gemara is suggesting, should be done actually before he enters the Suda. So the indication seems to be that he should not be wearing his tefillin whilst he's eating, with the question being, why not? Says Rashi, the end of the line there, Choyleit tefillov, Shema yishtaker b'su'udo, because maybe he'll have to drink and he'll become drunk during the meal, the yisgane b'tfilov, and he'll be in a situation of shame whilst wearing his tefillin, which means Rashi is clearly telling you that essentially there is no problem at all of eating whilst you wear your tefillin. That's not the issue. The issue is specifically if he becomes shikha. It seems to be mavur in many places in Chazal that they used to drink wine during the meals. That was standard procedure. So if he becomes shikha and he ends up in a rather unbecoming state, that would be a gnai for the tefillin. But the mere eating of the meal essentially is no problem at all. So therefore the Gemara is suggesting, according to Rabbi Yitzchok, he should therefore remove the tefillin before he even enters the room in which he's eating the Sudas Keva. Says the Gemara, Upliga de Reb Chiya. But this would seem to disagree. What Reb Yitzchok said would seem to disagree with Reb Chiya. The Homer Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya said slightly different. He said, Manichon al Shulchanai. Rather than removing them before he enters, he should actually enter and put them on the table next to him. V'chein hodur loy. What does v'chein hodur loy mean? Hodur literally means to return. So I think over here it means v'chein hodur loy. This way they can return to him, meaning they'll be immediately available for when he wants to put them back on. If you take them off and leave them outside, so then when you want to put them back on, you won't be able to do so until you've left. But if I have them right with me and I put them on the table, it means Rabbi Yitzchok agrees in principle that you should not be wearing your tefillin during the Suda. The point of disagreement is, when should you take them off? So he says, take them off just prior to the Suda and put them on the table, v'chein hodur loy, and then you can put them back on. When's that? Says the Gemara, v'ad emas, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, until when? Ad zman brocha. Until the zman of brocha. What does that mean, of brocha? Presumably that means until Birkas Hamazon. He should put them back on for Birkas Hamazon. Remember, the issue over here was only the actual eating of the meal, specifically as Rashi explained, because he might become shikha. So as soon as he's finished the meal, he's about to bench. There's no reason in the world why he shouldn't put the tefillin back on, as opposed to the first opinion who said, leave them outside. Says Rashi, v'chein hodur loy, sheyiu mezumanim loy. What does mezuman mean? They should be available to him. V'yachzer v'yanicham, and then he'll go back and put them back on. V'shas brocha. So it's not a very big machlokes between Rabbi Yitzchok and Rabbi Chiya. Everybody agrees that you should not be wearing the tefillin during the meal because of the chashash that will become drunk. The issue is only, when do you actually put them back on? Or rather, when should you take them off in the first place? According to the first opinion, before you enter the Suda, according to the second one, you have them right by your side on the table so that you can immediately put them back on following the meal, even before benching. Says the Gemara, a new topic, essentially. The subject that we've been discussing now for 2 or 3 weeks already is the issue of kavod for tefillin. So we've learned at great length all sugya of tefillin in the Beis Akisei. Now we just saw tefillin whilst eating. So we're continuing the general topic, but it's moving a little bit the subject. And that is, says the Gemara, Toni Choda. We have one braisa that says, Tzoreir. What does Tzoreir mean? Tzoreir means to wrap or bundle. Bundle, a person can bundle Odom Tzoreir, Odom Tfiliv. A person is allowed to bundle his tefillin im ma'oisov, together with his money, ba'apar kesusoi. Says Rashi, ba'apar kesusoi, sudar shel roishai. What's a sudar? A sudar is a garment or cloth of his head. So he had some sort of cloth covering for his head. Maybe that was basically the replacement for what we call a yarmulke. Instead of having a fancy black velvet yarmulke like we do, they had some sort of cloth, which maybe we can call a turban. And when he removes that and puts on his hat or something else, then he's allowed, says the Gemara, to put the tefillin inside that head gathering together with his money. Says Rashi, im ma'oisov Loy im hamois mamish. Not literally together with the money. You cannot have the money and the tefillin absolutely side by side. What it means is eloshnei kasharim ze etzol ze. Rather, each one will be tied up separately, but they will be next to each other. So he's going to take off his head covering, his turban, and he's going to make some sort of case or tie in which he will put the tefillin next to it. In the next tie will be the money, such that the money and the tefillin are not actually in the same compartment. They are in neighboring compartments, but they are sitting in one overall head gathering. So the question obviously becomes, what exactly is the chiddush of this braisa? What are we being taught? You're allowed to put the tefillin in your head covering. Why is that a chiddush? So let's continue. Says the Gemara, v'tanya iduch, and yet we have learned another braisa, which says the opposite. And it says, loy yotzur, question mark. Loy yotzur says that you should not bundle it up. So what's going on? The first braisa says you're allowed to put tefillin in the hen bundle together with the money. The second one says you should not do so. Now, what does that mean, you should not do so? Does that mean you should not put the tefillin in the head covering? Or does it mean that you can, but not together with the money? So we'll see in a moment, the Gemara understands this to mean that you cannot put the tefillin together with the money in the head covering. So it seems to be putting the tefillin in the head covering is no problem. That's not the chiddush. The chiddush is, can you put the money together, or at least side by side, with the tefillin? The first braisa says you can. The second braisa says you cannot. It seems to be a glaring contradiction. Says the Gemara, loy kasha. This is not difficult at all. This can be reconciled. It's talking about two different cases. And by way of introduction, let's introduce a very, very important word, an important concept. And that concept is called hazmona. Hey Zayin. Mem nun hey. What does it mean, hazmona? Hazmona means to designate. To designate. So let's give an example. Imagine you are looking for somewhere to put your money now. Would you be allowed to put your money in your tefillin bag? And the answer is no. Because if this bag is designated, hazmona means designated. If it's designated for tefillin, that it has kedusha, and it would be therefore a bezoyin of that kedusha to put the money in. The money obviously is not a davar shebe kedusha. If, however, it is not designated, then it's no problem to put the money in. So the question is, what exactly does that mean to designate? Meaning, if I go to the shop, I go to the store and I buy myself a tefillin bag, but I've never actually used it to put my tefillin in. Is that called hazmona, or it's not called hazmona? Maybe hazmona just means you've actually got to use it for that usage. Then it is considered designated. Or the other way around. What would be if I happened to have put my tefillin in a bag? I don't own a tefillin bag, so I put my tefillin today in some sort of plastic shopping bag. Is that called hazmona? It's true, I've used the bag to put my tefillin, but I never designated it as such, because I'm hoping tomorrow to go and buy myself a proper tefillin bag. So what is the definition of hazmana? That's something that we're going to see in the continuation of the sugya. But either way, a distinction must be made between an item where there is hazmana, an item where there's no hazmana. So now back to our story. We have a stira in the braisa. One braisa says that you may bundle your tefillin together with the money. The second braisa says you may not bundle the tefillin with the money. It seems to be a contradiction, says the Gemara. Lo ikasha. Ho da azamne. Ho da lo yazamne. One case is talking about where the bag, where the head covering was designated for tefillin. Not just that you put your tefillin in it, but it was designated for tefillin. It was specifically miyuchad and reserved for tefillin. And under those circumstances, you cannot put the money in. If, however, it was not designated, I just happened to put my tefillin there as a one-off thing, then you're allowed to put your money in there. Why, says the Gemara, the Omer Rav Chista, because Rav Chista said, Hai sudra de tefillin. This, again, this word sudar, this cloth, they didn't have fancy tefillin bags like we have nowadays. So they had some sort of material, a sudar. A sudar means a material, a cloth. So the cloth in which you stored your tefillin. Hai sudra de tefillin. This cloth which you are wrapping your tefillin with, the azmane that you designated, lemeitzar bei tefillin, that you have designated to bundle up, to wrap up your tefillin in it. So then, tzar bei tefillin, if indeed you did actually bundle the tefillin in there, you wrap them up. Osur lemeitzar bei, it would be forbidden to wrap up in it, pshiti. What's pshiti? Pshiti is money. Now, if you read that Gemara very, very closely, you will have noticed that Rav Chista is requiring two separate conditions. Number one, he said, it is a suda da azmane, which you have designated. And then he said, tsar bei tefillin, if you wrap the tefillin in it, then you now cannot put money in there. So Rav Chista is clearly requiring two separate conditions. Number one, that it has to be formally designated. What does that mean, formally designated? You've made a decision that from now on, this suda has one purpose and one purpose only, and that is in order to hold my tefillin. Number one. Number two, you also actually and practically need to wrap your tefillin in there at least once. But if I designate it, but I never actually used it yet, it doesn't get Kedusha. And that's what the Gemara says now afterwards. Says the Gemara, last word on the line, Azmane, what happens if he did designate it, but veloy tsar bei, comma, but he didn't actually wrap his tefillin in there, he just reserved it, he designated it, but he didn't actually do so. All the other way around, tsar bei veloy azmane. Or if he did put the tefillin in there, but he only happened to do so, rather than officially designated this suda for the tefillin, which means I have not fulfilled the double condition. Either I designated it without wrapping, or I wrapped without designating. In either of those two cases, shari, then it will be permitted lemeitzar bei zuzi. Then you would be allowed to wrap up in this suda your money. So Rav Chisda is clearly telling you, in order for the Suda to adopt Kedusha, which would then indeed prohibit putting money in there, you've got to have a double condition. Number one, you have formally designated that from now on, this is the function of this cloth to wrap up my tefillin. And number two, indeed, you have to put the tefillin in there. This, by the way, Rabbeisai, is an extremely common shaila. Many people would like, for example, in their tefillin bag to put either maybe tzedakah money. Some people would like to put a mirror so that they can position their tefillin. Some people put a pen, a tefillin pen. Somebody once asked me a shaila. He says that he sometimes gets very hot when he davens. If a person gets hot whilst he davens and he sweats, that's very unhealthy for the tefillin. Because if that seeps into the tefillin, eventually it can make its way through the batim into the parashias and it can cause damage. So he says that he's got these small balls that absorb moisture. And can he place those in the tefillin bag such that after he puts the tefillin back into the bag, they will, as it were, suck out and absorb any moisture that might be on the surface, ensuring that they don't seep into the tefillin. So here you have a bunch of examples, which is exactly what our Gemara is talking about. Now, we do have the double condition, because our tefillin bags, I think we'd all agree, are definitely designated. It's not that we happen to use our tefillin bags for our tefillin, rather this is the usage. And number two, we've actually put our tefillin there. So I have the double condition. So the question therefore now becomes, so what am I allowed to put in my tefillin bag? And the answer is, the poskim say, indeed, you cannot put money in there. You cannot put money in there. But if you put a mirror, for example, and I once asked my Rebbe, Shlomo Zalman Ullman, about these little balls to absorb the moisture, he allowed that as well. For the reason being, because those are all letzorech the tefillin. Money, it might be a mitzvah, that's very nice, it's for tzedakah, but it's not the tzorech hatefillin. But the pen or the mirror or the balls, that is the tzorech hatefillin, that can be put in the tefillin bag. Either way, the makor of this shaila is the Gemara that we're just now learning. So it's clear from the Gemara you need a double condition, says Rashi on the fourth bottom line. Hachi garasinon. Ha da azmane, ha deloy azmane. Lahahi sudar, this particular cloth, letfilin. Have you or have you not designated the cloth for the tefillin? De kivin da azmane, because seeing as he designated the cloth for the tefillin, shuv, after that, Asur Lotsur Boy Ma'ois. It will be forbidden to now wrap money in there. Me'achar, since Shehiktsu Lekach. What does Shehiktsu mean? Like the word Mukta or Haktsa'a. After you have designated, similar word to Hazmona, after you have designated the bag for this particular usage, which is your tefillin usage. Says Rashi, Sorbei, if indeed you actually put your tefillin in the cloth, then it depends. If indeed, in addition to putting the tefillin in, you have also designated the bag for the tefillin in, comma, then yes, it would become kodesh. But if you did not formally designate the cloth as the wrapping for the tefillin, then loy kodesh, then it would not become holy, even though you have actually put your tefillin in the bag. So Rashi is emphasizing this nakuda, the fact that you've put your tefillin there, that doesn't necessarily constitute a hazmona. You may have just by chance put them in there, but not with officially being mazmin hazmona. This is what you're going to do long term. Says Rashi, Tohochi Tanya b'Masechtas Sanhedrin. Because this is what we have learned in Sanhedrin. He niach boi tfilov, merely placing the tfilin in them. Ya niach boi mois, you're allowed to put money there as well. How can that be? But you put your tfilin in there. And the answer is, putting tfilin in is only one of the two conditions. But if you don't have the hazmona condition with it, then there's no kedusha. So the opinion of the Gemara at the moment, we'll soon see there is an opposing opinion, but the opinion of the Gemara for the moment is, in order for the Suda to adopt kedusha, you need two conditions. Number one, you actually put your tefillin in the bag, in the Suda, and number two, you formally designate the hazmona that this is the function, the tafkid of this Suda. Once you have those two conditions in place, the Suda now becomes Kodosh, and you can no longer put Mois money there. Says the Gemara, Ula Abaya, according to Abaya, the Oma Hazmona Milza, he, comma, quote unquote, Abaye is of the opinion that you only need one condition. What is that condition? Hazmona. Hazmona milsa hi. Hazmona is indeed real. Hazmona does have weight. According to the first opinion, hazmona alone is nothing. But according to Abaye, hazmona milsa. So according to Abaya, therefore, the halacha that we just discussed would very much change. Says the Gemara, L'Abaya d'om hazmona milsahi, therefore, azmanei, if indeed he designated the Suda for the tefillin, afal gav, deloy tzar bei tefillin, even though he did not actually wrap his tefillin in there, then what would be the halacha? It would be also to put the money in there. Why? Even though he never actually ever put his tefillin in the Suda, it doesn't matter. According to Abaya, once you have gone to the store and you have bought your tefillin bag, the mere fact that you have designated it for a tefillin gives it kedusha. And therefore, Azmanei Afagav Deloy Tzarbe, period. And what would be the other way around? What would be if Tzarbe? What happens if I did put the tefillin in the bag? Says Abaya, that has no relevance to me whatsoever. It all depends on one fact. And what is that? E azmanei, if you designate it, then osir, and eloi azmanei, loi. So it makes no difference whatsoever, according to Abaya, whether you have or have not put the tefillin in the Suda. That's not the deciding factor. If you designated the tefillin for the bag for the tefillin, it gets kedusha. And if you don't, then it doesn't. So we have two opinions. Let's just see Rashi quickly. Says Rashi on the second bottom line, Ula Abaya d'Omar hazmona milsahi gabe with regard to oireg beged lemeis in Masechta Sanhedrin Pered Nigmaradin. This is another example of where hazmona is a very important question. The halacha is that if somebody passes away and he has a beged, shrouds, then that beged is osa bahana'a. You cannot benefit from a beged that a mace used. So the question now becomes, what happens if you wove a beged for a mace? That's clearly hazmona, but you never actually used it. Abaya says in Sanhedrin, it's osa bahana. You cannot have any benefit from it. You can only use it for a mace. You cannot now use it for any other purpose. Why? This is Abaya's opinion. Because Abaya holds, Hazmona milsa hi. Hazmona takes effect. Therefore, even though he was talking about specifically the halacha of a beged for a mace, the Gemara is comparing it and says, the same will be true for tefillin. So if I now designate the suda to be my tefillin holder, even if I don't actually put the tefillin in there, you would not be allowed to put the money in. Why not? Because it adopts kedusha based on the hazmona itself. Whereas the first opinion says that no, that would not suffice. You need both hazmona and also to put the tefillin in the suda. Okay, we'll press pause over here, and all being well, Mr. Hashem, we'll continue.